reading to you from the second chapter of Titus and with the 9th verse. Do not argue with people about foolish questions and about the law. Do not spend time talking about all of your early fathers. This does not help anyone, and it is of no use. Talk once or twice to a person who tries to divide people into groups against each other. If he does not stop, have nothing to do with him. You can be sure he is going the wrong way. He is sinning, and he knows it. Good evening, my dear friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Listen, I want you to remember to pray for our evangelistics team as we're leaving the 10th, Saturday the 10th, to go to Fort Lyons. And we'll be holding a service from 2 to 4. And then we'll go back and stay at the Bent Western Motel. 5:30 in the morning we get up and we go to Los Animas and have a service at the prison there. And we hold 2-hour service. Then we return to Denver, which is over 300 miles. That's the 10th and 11th of January. Please pray for them and pray God will give me the strength, because believe me, I'll need it. The reason we're holding 2 services in 2 prisons is to save expenses. We can save over $400 plus our gas. So really pray that God will bless it. Now, be sure and please pray for my granddaughter, Michelle Moe. She's still having horrible, terrible grand mal seizures. I know God can heal her. Be with you for 29 minutes. Sit back and relax. See what the Lord has for us, okay? Tonight, friends, I'd like to preach on the power over temptations. Have you ever eaten a wonderful, well, Christmas dinner or New Year's dinner? And then you think, my, I'd like a little apple pie with a little whipped cream on it, or a pie a la mode. Now, that's a terrible tempting thing, and we all fight that every day of our lives. We're tempted to sin or do something that God does not approve over. Again, how do we overcome temptations? You know, a lot of people seek professional help from psychiatrists and psychologists, like I did when I was an alcoholic. They watch TV and they tell them, you buy this drug and it's supposed to help you out. Dear friends, I would say 2/3 of the advertisements on TV about drugs, the side effects are so much that it'd be better not to take them. But of course, the drug people, they don't care. They're making billions and billions of dollars. If a little child doesn't mind you, you need to get some drugs that make him mind. Oh, if we were allowed to do like the Bible said, we wouldn't have that problem. You know, I loved my sister and my brother-in-law. He was a doctor and she was a nurse. They just did not believe in discipline. They just let their kids run rampant, and boy, howdy, they're paying for it today. Of course, they're both gone now, but they never learned to mind and never learned to do anything right. In Matthew 26, and I want you to take a piece of paper and a pencil and write these down. If you're fighting a temptation problem, maybe perhaps you've been tempted to have an affair. You say, Christians don't talk about that. Oh, yes, there has been a lot of preachers went astray. Not only preachers, but a lot of Christians have went astray. It happens. Well, write these down and then look them over later. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, shortly after I was saved, one day I told my wife I was going downtown to buy me a Cadillac car. Don't ask me why, but I always wanted a Cadillac car. I thought that when you own a Cadillac, you own it all. Well, they are a good car, I'll tell you that for sure. But she just smiled because she thought I was kidding. Oh, I did not pray about it. I just went down, found a beautiful green Cadillac four-door, I bought the car, and then went out and prayed that God would bless my decisions. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever done that? That was wrong, friends. We would all be better off if we'd bow our heads and ask God for direction. You know, there are lots of college kids going to school. They have no idea what God wants them to do. You know, if everybody went to college to get a degree, so they'd not have to do manual labor, there'd be no roofers, no plumbers, no electricians, truck drivers, laborers. Friends, listen. Seek the will of God, and He will lead you to the right decision. And that really includes who you are to marry. Nowadays, men want something that's beautiful face, beautiful body, all this and that. They don't look at anything else. That's why these poor movie stars, their marriages, 99/10 of them fail. They don't marry for love. It's a shame. I read in 1 Corinthians 10:11-13, and oh, this is a powerful verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 11th and 13th verse. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with a temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, precious friends, I want you to know God used this scripture to help me quit smoking. You know, friends, after I was saved, of course, hey, I've had a lot of buddies tell me, oh, Cecil, if you smoked after you were saved, you were not saved. How many times you heard people tell you that? Where does it say, for by quitting smoking are you saved through faith? No, smoking is bad. Smoking is sinful. Smoking is expensive, and it will kill you after a long time. Well, I tried everything to quit. Nothing worked. I prayed and I prayed. Anyone who's tried to quit smoking will tell you it's the hardest thing that you can do. Believe me, I'm telling this straight. One night while reading my Bible, and I was just a baby Christian, I dropped a cigarette ash in my Bible. The first thing I tried to do was blow it out of my Bible, but it would not go. You know what I felt like, friends? I felt like I just reached up and slapped God in the face. Friends, I broke down and cried and said, Lord, I have to quit. I felt if I did not, God would let me have a big old lung tumor and die. Actually, after I quit smoking a year or so later, I did get a lung tumor. Well, when my wife walked into the house, she knew something was wrong. She said I was pale, white as a ghost. She said, what's the matter? And I said, Jean, I have to quit smoking. She knew that I'd struggled and struggled. The next morning, I woke up, and the very first thing that I thought of was getting up and smoking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee. And then I remembered that I had promised God, with His help, I would quit. Folks, I went to work that morning without any coffee. It was cold and rainy and damp and chilly. Well, I never come home for lunch, but this day I did. I drove home for lunch, I walked into the house, and just as I got ready to walk into the kitchen, I said, Lord, I can't do it. I cannot. I can't quit. And you know, dear friends, the Holy Spirit of God brought this scripture to my mind. There is no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. I was at the breaking point. I could not go on. He said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Oh, praise God. I have never craved another cigarette. Now listen. If you're suffering from smoking and you try to quit, look at this scripture, pray about it, and ask the Lord if it will work with you. Friends, it's a terrible thing when you're faced with temptations. And I know a dear preacher friend of mine. I just loved him to death. Good preacher. My, he was a good preacher. Had a beautiful, wonderful wife and three teenage kids. And I held a revival in his church down in Texas, a great, big, large church. And then I came back. He wrote me the nicest letter and told me that it was one of the better revivals they had, and on and on and on. One day, my daughter received a phone call or a letter from his wife. He disappeared. They have never seen him since. Someone said he was trying to make it in Hollywood, run off with another woman. I wouldn't have believed that. I'm telling you, friends, I wouldn't have believed that. I knew that man. But the temptation that he faced was greater than he could bear. Had he used his scripture, God would have pulled him out of it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, God is not through with you and I yet. I know a dear brother, and he's just really beginning to settle in on the Lord's work. And the church is offering him things, jobs. See, anybody who will work in the church, I'll guarantee you they'll open the door for you, because they're looking for workers. But I told him, and of course he's smart enough to know that, pray about it. They want him to be a deacon. You pray about it. Don't you jump in there and say, yeah, I'll be a deacon, just to please them. You do it because God has called you to be a deacon. And, you know, friends, he calls a lot of men to preach who never go through with it. My daddy felt a call to preach when he was a young man. He didn't do it. He'd rather been a wheat and cattle rancher, and that's what he did up until he died. But I'm sure that he must have been very unhappy at times. I remember when they had a big party for me and my wife, the first time I preached in Portland, Oregon, all my family, 120 people came that day special to hear me share. We had a dinner afterwards, and my auntie walked up to me and said, Cecil, your daddy would have been real proud of you today. And I said, why? She said, because he felt his call to preach, but he didn't do it. Well, I said, his son did it. He sure did. I didn't want to be a preacher, beloved. Listen to me. You've heard me say that many times. I wanted to be the best roofing contractor Seattle, Washington ever had. I loved to roof. I loved the business. But when I finally come to my senses, I said, Lord, thy will be done. I'll do it. I don't know how. I know I'm not smart. I know I'm not highly educated. But I love you, Lord, and I'll do my very best. Well, you know, I've been preaching on radio for over 35 years now. 30 of it right here on KPOF. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. When we trust Jesus as our personal Savior, God has a work for us to do. And beloved, nobody else can do your job. Many Christians believe that God is a respecter of persons, and he only uses and blesses preachers. Not so. You know, friends, I told you I started out driving tuck in a rescue mission in Bellingham, Washington. And I'd witnessed to those men and witnessed to them. The director wasn't too pleased with me because I'd go out and sit down in the back porch and have a cup of coffee with him. He said, you're supposed to wear a suit and sit across the desk. I said, I don't witness that way. Anyway, there was one man there in particular, a big, tall guy. And he was in World War II like I was. And his wife run off after he went into service and took his son. And he never got to see her or the son again. And you know what he did? He started in a bottle, trying to drown his sorrows. I'd witnessed. We called him Doc because he was a pharmacist mate in the service, and we'd call him Doc. And anyway, after I left the mission and went to work for another company, I used to go down to the mission and see the guys and tell them I loved them. And this one day, I just stopped in for a second to have a cup of coffee. And One of the men said, "Cecil, you better go up to the room. Doc's dying." And I went up to this crummy room, and there old Doc was in bed. His eyes were matted shut. He weighed about maybe 110 pounds. And I went and I took him by the hand, and I said, "Doc, it's me, Cecil." "Oh, how are you, Cecil?" I said, "Well, I'm okay, but how are you doing?" He said, "Could you do me a great, great big favor?" And I said, "Sure. Could you go down and get me some grapefruit juice? That's the only thing I can keep on my stomach." I went down, I bought him a can of grapefruit juice and come poured him a glass. And went over there and I said, "Doc, you don't have much time left. And I know that you've been hurt. I know your wife hurt you, but you're going to face eternity. And without Christ, Doc, you're going to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to save you." And he started to cry. And you know what I did? I pulled those covers back off that skinny rack of bones. And I helped him down beside the bed. And he knelt there with me. And he prayed. And he invited Christ into his heart. Oh, friends, listen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. God had planned, God had ordained that I was to go down there that day and to see old Doc and introduce him to Christ. I'll tell you right now, God's got something for you to do too today. And don't you forget it. He's got something for you. 1 Thessalonians 3:2-3. "And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourself know that we are appointed thereunto." I know those who claim to know Jesus, that if you have affliction, you're not walking with God. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass, we know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to you your faithful servant by some means that tempter have tempted you, and you labor in our labor being not be in vain." Friends, listen. When you're tempted to sin, call a brother Christian or a sister Christian, or call your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your deacon, that someone might pray with you. Believe me, it is comforting to have another brother or sister in Christ also pray for that's concerned. I read in James 4:7-10, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you devil-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joys to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." Humble yourself is the key to this passage of Scripture. We sometimes try to work out our problems and our sorrows by ourselves, and we leave God out of it. This is a very, very big mistake. You know how I know? Because I tried it a couple of times myself. Then I read in 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Many, many times on the bumpers of car, I see people putting God down, saying terrible things, or putting a fish with legs on it and things like that. Look, it. God does not make you believe if you don't want to believe. But dear friend, I urge you, do not make fun of him, because someday you will fall on your knees and confess that Jesus is the Christ. But then, my friends, it's too late. I read in 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Friends, Satan is strong, but God is stronger, or he would not be God. So, friends, the next time you're tempted to sin or go against the God, would you just remember, God will help you through it if you'll only stop and pray. Maybe Satan has tried to convince you that you're going to heaven because you belong to a church, or you've been baptized as a little baby. Friends, he's a liar, and if you list him, he'll take you straight to a devil's hell, thus saith the Lord. But maybe tonight you decided that your temptations are more than you can bear? Well, if it is, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:11-13 and claim it for yourself. Friend, is God dealing with your heart tonight? Do you want to put your trust in Jesus? Friends, listen. Every day you live, we're closer to eternity. Every day we live, we're closer to eternity. And if you've not put your trust in Jesus, I urge you tonight, because you may never have another chance. I tell it like it is, you may never have another chance. Did you see where that motor home was down here in Texas? 10 people in it went over the road and killed 6 of them. Woman burned up in a fire. We have no promise of tomorrow, but we have a promise that he'll save us if we repent and trust him. If you'd like to pray the sinner's prayer and you're serious, here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I repent of my sin tonight. I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. And all friends, I don't care where you go to church. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money, and I won't embarrass you. But if you feel I can help you spiritually, please get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Was a beautiful song by D.R. Martin. I just sing that all the time. I whistle it. It's such a pretty tune. Friends, I want to thank you so very, very much for your contribution to the Christmas baskets. It was a huge success. God bless you. God love you. I know it made your Christmas a lot better. It sure did ours to see these hungry families getting food and turkeys and presents. It was a wonderful Christmas. It could not have happened if it had not been for you people. And you know, friends, I always tell people, we've got the best listeners in the world. We may not have a lot of them, and they may not give a lot of money, but they do. They're faithful, just as faithful. Well, friends, I want to wish you a very happy new year. Why don't we just dig in a little harder, work a little harder, tell people about Jesus, because that's where the joy really comes in. Well, friends, be sure and pray for our four services down at the prisons in Fort Lyons and Los Animas. Until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.